would ask all of you to please be praying that God will bless us as we try to study His holy word. I really have three subjects on my heart that I feel the Lord has put there. The main subject that's on my heart is faith, F-A-I-T-H, the importance of faith, the blessings that come because God has given us faith, and the blessings, the special blessings that we get when we exercise the faith that God has given us. There are two things that I think that the two other words that are on my heart besides faith. One is fear. And I believe with all of my heart that the more that we exercise the faith that God has given us, the less fear that we will have. I believe that faith in God drives fear away from the hearts of the people of God. That if I'll just believe in God and believe God, and if I will trust in God, if I will exercise the faith that God has given to me, it will drive away fear. And then the third word that's on my heart tonight is joy. I believe that there's great joy to the people of God that have exercised and are exercising their faith. I believe that our cups will overflow with joy and peace and with the love of God when we do believe God and trust God in our lives. That song that we just sang says, "Praise His holy name, I am saved from fear. He never will forsake His own." Unless you believe that He will never forsake His own, unless you believe what God says in His Word about the eternal security of His people, and unless you believe that God will help you in your day-to-day life, then you're not saved from fear. It's only in believing what the Word of God says, it's in trusting in God, it's in having faith in God that we are saved from fear. You will turn in your Bibles tonight to 1 Peter. I would like to read from 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 3, and I'd like to have more scriptures than normal to read tonight, only three different pages that we'll be going to, but there are three lengthy scriptures, and I ask you to pray, and I encourage you when you go home, I encourage you to read and study from these three or four different passages of scripture, because I want you to see that in every one of these passages, that the thing that is most emphasized is faith, the importance of you using the faith that God has given to you. First of all, reading now from 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. The Word of God says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And let's just stop right there. I want you to know that all hope had been lost by all of the apostles and all of the other disciples of Jesus Christ. All hope and all confidence that they had about Jesus being the Messiah, it was all lost when Jesus was crucified on the cross of Calvary. They thought it was all over. The Word of God teaches us that they all began to doubt and to fear and to question that this one that they all believed was the Messiah, that He was now dead, and the Scriptures teach that all hope was lost. And now Peter writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." You see, Peter's now saying, "I believe, I know, because I saw Him, that Jesus is raised from the dead." And I believe that gave them a lively hope, and it ought to give all of us great hope and assurance and peace in our hearts. And if we believe that Jesus rose from the dead, we believe that we too shall be raised from the dead. Now that removes fear of what? Name some things that removes fear from. Number one, that removes fear from the grave. I have no fear of the grave because I know that the body is going to be raised from the dead. I have no fear of me going into the grave, and I have no fear of my loved ones going into the grave, because I believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and I believe that all of those that are in Christ Jesus, that they shall be raised from the dead, and because of that confidence and because of that faith, I have no fear of the grave. That's the reason the Apostle Paul could say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? What happened? Paul believed and knew his confidence was in the resurrection of the body because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was strong in faith, and that removed all fear of the grave and of death. Verse 4, he says that God has begotten us again unto a lively hope. In verse 4, he says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through the manifold temptations. Now what's he saying? We look forward to heaven, but what else does he say? But right now, you still have to have manifold temptations. Do you still have troubles and problems in this life, even though one day you're going to heaven? Do you still have trials and tribulations and afflictions? Brethren, throughout this congregation, I doubt that there's anyone here that doesn't have one kind of a problem or another. There are many different kinds of problems and tribulations, and that's what Peter is saying. He's saying, even though we know that we're going to heaven and we have complete confidence in that, we still have trials and tribulations right now. Now watch what he says. In verse 7 he says, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love. Now who is that that you have not seen that you love? Who is that? Jesus Christ. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. If you believe, and that's what all this is about, the only way that you're going to rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory is if you believe in Jesus Christ. If you really believe that Jesus Christ has accomplished what he came to do, you're going to be able to rejoice with exceeding joy and glory in God. And now listen to verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now listen carefully. It was the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that saved your body, soul, and spirit from eternal hell. But it is you believing in Christ that will save your soul from fear and cause you to rejoice every day of your life. If you exercise your faith. If you don't exercise your faith, you're not going to have joy in your life every day. If you're not going to exercise your faith, if you're not going to believe that Christ, not only that he's died for you, listen, brethren, I rejoice with joy unspeakable that I know Jesus did die for me at Calvary. I rejoice with joy unspeakable, and I have great confidence. I have, you know how much fear of eternal hell I have? I have no fear of eternal hell. And the reason I have no fear of eternal hell, the reason there's no fear there, and the reason I look forward with joy to being with God forever in heaven is because I believe that Jesus paid it all. If Jesus just paid 99% of it, I've got one more percent to do. If anything is left up to me, I have no confidence that I'll be in heaven when I die. Me being in heaven and you being in heaven and all the people of God, a people so great that no man can number. Out of every nation, kindred, tongue, family, and tribe, we're going to be in that eternal heaven, not because of what we have done, but 100% because of what God has done. My faith, my confidence in eternal salvation, my confidence is in God and God alone. Not God and man, not God and my faith, but But 100% my confidence is in God. And that does two things for me. My faith in Jesus Christ removes any fear of eternal hell. It also causes me to be filled with great joy because I believe. It saves my soul. Do you follow that now? I'm not talking about saving your soul eternally. It saves my soul from fear right now if I believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Second thing now, not only if I believe in Christ, not only does it save me from fear, it saves my soul from fear of eternal hell, but it saves my soul from being afraid of anything that ever happens, any trial of my faith, any tribulation, any trouble that ever comes in my life, any sickness, any national calamity, and anything else that might ever happen in my life. It saves me from fear because I know that Jesus is alive and on His throne right now. And that removes me from having fear, not only of eternity, but it removes fear from my soul right now. My soul is saved from fear when I believe that Jesus Christ is ruling and reigning right now. Jesus is alive. Was it today, tonight, we sang because He lives? Because He lives. See, you think about those words. I didn't ask for that song to be sung. Because He lives, I'm going to heaven. Is that a true statement? Because He lives, I'm going to heaven. That's true. But listen, brethren, that's just half the story. The rest of the story is that because He lives, I can face tomorrow. I can face today. I can face every day and everything that happens in my life, and you can face it with great confidence because the Lord is your shepherd right now. The Lord is with you. The last song that we sang was, He never will forsake. I am saved from fear. I am walking now with my Lord so dear. If Jesus is alive and you believe that Jesus is alive and you're walking with Jesus, what does that do to fear in your soul about whatever you have to face every day? It saves your soul from fear every day. It also causes your soul to be filled with joy every day because you know there's nothing that I have to face today that Jesus is not able to help me face every day of my life. So my faith and your faith must be in Jesus Christ. If your faith or my faith is in any man or group of men or political party or finances or government, if our faith is in anything other than Jesus Christ, we're going to be afraid and we're going to lose the joy that we have. He is our only hope. Everybody hear that? He is our only hope, Jesus Christ. But that's all the hope we need. That's the perfect hope. That's the confidence that we have is in Jesus Christ. Go with me to back up in your Bibles to just a moment to 2 Timothy chapter 1. When Paul was writing to Timothy, one of the first things that he talked about, there are three things that I've mentioned so far that's on my heart tonight. One is faith. The other two are what? Fear and what? Joy. Faith, fear, and joy. If we exercise our faith, we're going to be rid of fear, and we're going to be full of joy. As long as my faith is confident in Jesus Christ, I'm going to be full of joy, and fear is going to be driven away. When Paul wrote to the young preacher Timothy, what did he thank God for in Timothy's life? There was something in Timothy's life that he was more thankful for than anything else. And he says that was in Timothy's life was in the life of his mother, and it was in the life of his grandmother. What was that one ingredient that was in Timothy's life and his mother's life and his grandmother's life that Paul was so thankful for? What was it? Faith. 2 Timothy. Look in your Bibles at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5, Paul writing to the young preacher Timothy, he says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith." That means faith. Sometimes we sing that song, "Oh, for a faith that will not shrink, though pressed by every foe." That's the kind of faith we need. Unfeigned faith. Faith that does not doubt. Faith that believes. I can face tomorrow. I can face today. I can face everything that comes in my life. The devil and all of his angels cannot cause you to be afraid if you are confident in Jesus Christ. And there is nothing that will shake your faith if your confidence is in Jesus Christ. And so he says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Did Timothy have faith in him? Timothy had great faith. The unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of what? God has not given us the spirit of fear. Well, what does it take to get rid of fear? It takes faith to get rid of fear. He says, Timothy, God's given you faith. Your mother and your grandmother had strong faith. They had unfeigned faith. And now you have faith. And God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And listen, brethren, the only people who have no fear of anything that happens in their lives and they have the spirit of love and power and of a sound mind are those that have believing, that are believing in Jesus Christ. It is only while I'm really believing in Christ. Now let me say this. Let me pause here. Can you be believing in Christ tonight and stop believing the way I'm talking about? Can you stop believing tomorrow? Can you have great confidence in Christ tonight and something happen and your faith just looks like it's just shot all to pieces tomorrow? I think so. I really do. I know that there have been times in my life I felt like my faith was as strong as any human being in the world. And then something trivial really would come along and it just knocked me off my feet. You know what happened? What did we study about this morning? Thank you. Pride. And whenever I get proud of how strong my faith is, what happens? When I get proud about how strong my faith is, I'm going to find out my faith is not as strong as I thought it was. Something will come along. The devil recognizes there's a chink in his armor. There's a hole there. This man's full of pride, thinking he's got all kinds of faith. And so he just shoots a hole right through that shoots a fiery dart right through that hole in my armor, and he strikes me, and down I go. My faith is shattered because I don't really have on that shield of faith. But my faith is in. So what does our faith sometimes get in? Our faith begins to get in ourselves. And when my faith gets in me and in myself, and I think my faith is strong, that's when I'm going to fall. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Can you be strong in faith? By the grace of God, with the help of God, I believe that you can be so strong that nothing will cause you to waver. That you can face anything and everything. It doesn't matter if this economy goes to zero. If we end up with the dollar bill being worth absolutely nothing and every grocery store is raided and people are killing each other, I believe that a child of God can have total faith and trust in God and have no fear at all. No fear. Why? He never will forsake. I am saved from fear. I am walking. You hear the words of that song? I am walking now. Now, see? I am walking now with my Lord so dear. He never will forsake his own. So my faith saves my soul from worrying about eternal hell because I believe in Jesus Christ. But my faith can save my soul from fearing anything else that happened, the trials of my faith and tribulations that come in our lives, our faith can save our souls from being afraid of anything else. And instead of being full of fear, we will be full of joy because our confidence is in Jesus Christ. Now, Paul says to Timothy, you've got faith. And then he says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 8 now. He says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." Are you ashamed to declare that you believe that Jesus Christ has saved His people from their sins? There are so many people that say, well, He's tried to save and He's offered to save. I'm telling you, brethren, don't you ever be afraid to say that Jesus saved His people from their sins. That's what He came to do. The angel said to Joseph, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." And He accomplished what He came to do. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of Jesus Christ. And don't be ashamed to say, "My Savior lives. And because He lives, I can face tomorrow." My confidence must be in Jesus and not in anything in this world. And if your confidence is in Jesus, you will have no fear and you will be full of joy. It's a great blessing. You know, I've been with several people this week that I have seen great faith. I mean, faith so strong that it was almost like, I want to rub elbows with you. Your faith is so strong, I just want to get close to you. Why do you want to get close to somebody whose faith is so strong? Well, you just feel the presence of God. I do. When I see somebody that their faith is strong and confident in God, and fear is gone, all fear is gone, and they're so close to the Lord, I just want to hug them and feel the presence of God. They're not God. I'm telling you, the Word of God teaches that when we're around people of great faith, it strengthens our faith. It helps us to see the people of God who really believe in Jesus Christ, who really believe that He died and saved us from our sins, but who also really believe He's alive right now and He's walking with us. And as David said, the Lord, what's the next word? The Lord is my shepherd. See? Do you need a shepherd tonight? Do you need a shepherd tonight? Do you need a shepherd tomorrow? If you know and you believe that Jesus is your shepherd, and you can feel the presence of the shepherd, believing that will save your soul from fear. Now, verse 8, he says to Timothy, he says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Was Paul telling Timothy, "You're going to have afflictions"? Was he telling Timothy, "You're going to have fiery trials"? And yet he's saying, "There's something you have that will save your soul in all the afflictions, so don't be afraid of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid of the testimony of Jesus Christ. Don't fear men. Just stand firm on solid ground and trust in God." Verse 9 says, "Who hath what? Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Now, there's two things he talks about there. That Jesus Christ has abolished death. That has to do with our eternal salvation. He has abolished death, and He has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. It's through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the hearing of the gospel and the believing of the gospel that the glorious light of the gospel shines forth in our hearts, and it saves our soul from fear in the day-by-day experiences that we have in our lives. And that's the reason Paul says, listen at 11 and 12, he says, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle." You think that makes a man happy when he knows the truth of the gospel? When he can really preach and teach, Jesus saved. Let me ask you this. Which one is correct? Listen carefully. Two questions. Should I say Jesus saved, or should I say Jesus saves? Which one is true? That's right. Jesus saved. When he died on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago, he saved me from my sins. Jesus saved. But I can also declare Jesus saves day by day, doesn't he? He saves and helps us in all of our troubles. Have you ever had difficulties in making decisions and you didn't know what to do? Have you ever had enemies that you knew were after you and wanted to stick you in the back and wanted to destroy your life? Have you ever known that Satan was after you and trying to destroy you? Have you ever had problems that you knew that without God intervening, you were a goner? Well, it's in those times that you need to believe in Jesus Christ. Not just believe that he saved you, but to believe that he what? That he saves you day by day. And that will cast out all fear, and it will fill you with joy to know that Jesus is on his throne and Jesus will never forsake. Now listen to verse 12. Listen, I'll close with this one verse. Look at verse 12. He says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things." Paul's saying, I suffer, you're going to suffer. And by the way, P.S., everybody here, if you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to suffer. Did you know that? You cannot teach and you cannot walk in the light of God's holy word without you suffering. The word of God says, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to suffer. If when you suffer, if you don't look to Jesus for the strength and grace you need, you're going to fall. You're going to give up. You're going to go the other way. But if you look to Jesus, your soul will be saved because you'll have no fear and you'll be full of joy. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, he says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. Well, who has he believed? He's believed Jesus. "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." What can you commit? How much can you commit to Jesus? Can you commit your life to Jesus? Can you commit your finances? Can you commit your family? Can you commit your children? Can you commit your parents? Paul says, "I have committed all things into his keeping." See, Paul's faith was in Jesus Christ. And his soul was saved. And he was full of joy because he knew Jesus was going to take care of everything he needed in his life. May God help us to believe his word and to believe in Jesus is my prayer for Christ's sake. Brother David. Number 508. We'll stand as we sing, please. Number 508. Number 508.
If you love God and desire to serve God with the church, then you desire to be known as you stand and sing number 508.
Oh, for a faith that will not shrink, oppressed by every foe, that will not Amen.
hallowed bliss of that eternal heaven. We'll taste it even here. Absolutely. Absolutely. May God help us to thank the Lord for the truth of His Word and for the revelation of that truth. Anything else before we dismiss? If not, we'll bow our heads to be dismissed with prayer. Brother Robbie, would you please?
Thank you.